This is Fresh Air. Eugene Stein develops sitcoms for ABC Productions, where he's a vice president. And he's written for such shows as Cheers and Murphy Brown. His new novel is beyond the territory of sitcoms. It's told from the perspective of Bert, a teenager whose older brother Philip has undergone a psychotic break and become schizophrenic. Philip refuses to see a doctor because he believes he's perfecting his astral projection techniques and expects to soon be able to transcend his ego. Meanwhile, he's throwing out Bert's Bob Dylan records because he hears secret messages in them that are bad for people. While Bert copes with his brother's growing disorientation, Bert is confused by his own sexual feelings. He thinks he's probably gay. Here's a reading from the opening of the semi-autobiographical novel Straight Jacket and Tie.
Bert was 16 when his brother had his first psychotic break. Philip was a freshman at the State University in Stony Brook. At first, there had been a delicious sense of lightness. When Philip walked, he felt as though he were floating through clouds. But then background noises began growing louder and louder, obscuring the more important sounds in the foreground. Philip refused to return to school the following September, pleading for a year's grace to stay at home and decide who he was and what he wanted. His parents let him stay. Sometimes he felt reborn, renewed. Sometimes he felt touched by God. He was fascinated by out-of-body experiences, astral projection, and telepathy. If someone wanted to insert thoughts in you, they could do that, Philip told Bert. I don't think so, Phil, Bert said gently. They can. They can make you think a certain way. That's why homosexuals are so bad. They can put thoughts inside you. Philip despised homosexuals. The very idea of homosexuality sickened him. Every day, Philip listened to the radio, searching the static for a station that remained slightly out of reach. There are radio stations we don't even know about. The government has them, Philip assured his parents, Joseph and Evie. Sometimes you can just barely hear them. Maybe they were broadcast to make people gay. Philip laughed at the idea. He knew it sounded strange, but he believed it. At random moments, Philip would call out lines from songs, from television shows, from whatever. Bert would announce the sources, not because he wanted to, but because he felt it would put people at ease. He didn't know why he felt this overwhelming sense of responsibility, why it was his duty to make his brother's behavior palatable. Looking back, he found his efforts a little ludicrous. Waitress to Philip, what can I get you? Philip to waitress, you and I are of a kind. In a different reality, I could have called you friend. Bert, Star Trek, isn't it, Phil? Woman on a bus to Philip. We're moving so slowly. Philip to woman. Time is a jet plane. It moves too fast. Bert, that's Dylan, right? What song is it, Phil?
And that's Eugene Stein reading from his new novel, Straitjacket and Tie. Eugene, how closely is the character of Philip based on your brother?
Well, I think it's certainly the most autobiographical part of the book. My own brother is mentally ill, and so obviously I called upon my own experiences to write the relationship between Philip and Bert. But I felt free to lie, to distort, to change, to manipulate, anything I needed to do for the sake of the book.
Did your brother have paranoid delusions when you were growing up?
Pretty much about the same time as it happens in this book, when I was about 16, he became very ill. He was 19 or 20, and that's the age almost universally where schizophrenia strikes.
So what were the symptoms that you noticed first?
A withdrawal into himself, a sense that he was listening to kind of auditory hallucinations in his head, a general unkempt look that he had. I mean, he was obviously suffering a great deal. And, of course, our family felt powerless to help.
Did he try to pick up radio stations that didn't exist and find conspiracies in things?
Actually, I made that up for the book. He didn't have those delusions. He would become obsessed with particular figures, for instance, in rock and roll, not necessarily Bob Dylan. He would listen to music over and over again, searching, I think, songs for secret clues. But he didn't have the grand conspiracy theories that Philip has in the novel.
What kind of condition is he in now?
He actually lives in a halfway house in Manhattan. He doesn't need to be hospitalized. He kind of needs some supervision. But I'm pleased that he's taking his medicine and has some kind of life. I wish he were healthier. I wish he were better about taking his medicine. I wish he held a job, which I think to some degree he's able to, although he doesn't think he is. And I think we're waiting all there. One out of every 100 people in the United States is schizophrenic, which is astonishing statistic because you hear about the disease so rarely, really. And it's one out of 100 people in the United States, one out of 100 people in almost every country in the world. And I think we're all waiting for the next great wave of medication because we're starting to get some new drugs that are making some difference. And I think over the next 20 years, things will improve. I just hope it's sooner rather than later.
You print some of your brother's poems in your novel, as if the character in the novel had written them. And some of the poems really make no sense at all. Some of them have made up words and are really incoherent. And I wonder if your brother showed you those poems or if you found them yourself.
It's a combination. Some of them he showed me, some of them I found. They were reproduced in the book with his written permission. I actually find the poems quite beautiful. Even the ones that are perhaps incoherent, to me, there are snatches of things I understand. They almost seem like surrealist poems. And it's obviously, the poetry is very deeply connected to his unconscious. He's able to draw from that. And then some of the poems aren't incoherent at all, and I think those are lovely as well.
Do you want to read one for us?
Oh, sure. I'll read On Turtle Island, which actually is a poem I wrote with my brother. I live a life of ease on Turtle Island. Got a girl I can please on Turtle Island. Eat some feta cheese on Turtle Island. No disease on Turtle Island. Study Portuguese on Turtle Island. Watch out for the bees on Turtle Island, where you get change back from your dollar. And that last line was written by my brother, and I find it so moving because where you get change back from your dollar, it relates so much to a person on a very limited income to whom change from a single dollar means a great deal.
How did you end up writing this poem together?
He had written some of it, and then I wrote some of it, and then we kind of passed it back and forth. It was at a time when he was relatively well. And we're continuing to do that. He still sends me some of his poetry, and some of it I love as it is complete, and some of it I work on. He's asked me to work on with him.
In your novel, the schizophrenic brother thinks that homosexuality is evil. And when the younger brother starts to realize that he is gay, at first it scares him and makes him think maybe homosexuality is an expression of his own madness.
There's a link in the character of Bert's mind, there's a link in his mind between gay desire and mental illness, and he likens them to a virus, a slow virus that's been in him, and what if now the virus is coming out and sickening him. I do know that gay sexuality for a teenager is terrifying very often. This certainly is not a society which welcomes it. So I think for someone who's grown up with a mentally ill brother, that experience makes him question his sanity.
Did you have an experience like that yourself?
I think at times I did. Not necessarily as specific as Bert's or as well thought out as Bert's. I think for me it was more general, and I had a sense that something was wrong, and I was worried, but I don't know that I put my finger on it in my own life as I have in the book.
Eugene Stein is my guest. His new novel is called Straitjacket and Tie. More after this break. This is Fresh Air. Back with novelist and TV executive Eugene Stein. Now, you're vice president for comedy at ABC. Would you give us a brief...
At ABC Productions.
ABC Productions. So what does this mean? Give us a little job description of what...
Okay, well, all the networks are moving into program ownership. They want to own the programs that are on their air. And ABC Productions is the in-house unit at ABC, which our job is to create new shows that will be on the ABC schedule. So writers come to us with ideas. We try and sell these ideas to the network. We develop scripts. If the scripts turn out good, hopefully we get some pilots. And if the pilots come out good, hopefully we get some series on next fall's schedule.
So you said that the networks more and more want to own the programs that are on there. How is that different from what has been before?
Well, in the past, networks have largely paid what are called license fees to the studios, like a Warner Brothers or a Universal or a Paramount. And this license fee would give the network the right to air the show twice. But the studios own those shows, and after the show ran on a network, the studio could syndicate them in the syndication market where there are huge dollars to be had. And I think the networks seeing the business contracting in some way, seeing cable eating up the share of the audience. The networks want to be in that program ownership business, too.
So what are some of the shows you've brought on to ABC?
Well, I've only been at ABC Productions 8 months. We have three pilots going right now, so I'll be in a better position next fall to tell you which ones are coming.
Can you tell us anything about the pilots, or is that top secret?
No, it's not top secret. I'm pretty excited about some of them. One is with a black stand-up named Steve Harvey. I think he's a brilliant find, and it's a show about a single black father raising three sons. We have a show with another stand-up, Jack Gallagher, that's about a man at 40 becoming a father for the first time. And then we have a show at CBS, actually, about a couple whose children leave the nest and they're thrilled to be alone again, and then all three children move back home.
You know, the first two shows you mentioned are built around stand-ups, and I guess that must have a lot to do with the success of Seinfeld and Mad About You and Grace Under Fire.
And Roseanne. And
Roseanne,
Cosby
of course,
before it.
Yeah.
It's certainly been the most important trend in the last few years in network comedy development to build shows around stand-up. I have to say, I personally don't think it's the only way to develop, and I hope there will always be room for working with a writer who has a passion about a specific idea. But lately, so much of television has become cast-driven.
And what's behind that, do you think? Is it just the success of shows that like that that have led to more and more shows like that?
Yes, I think there certainly is a copycat phenomenon where networks see what shows work, and the hits of the last few years are Roseanne and Home Improvement and Grace Under Fire and Seinfeld and Mad About You. It's hard to argue with that success. I think the other factor at work is how hard it is to cast pilots. And if you have if you build a show around a stand-up comic, then at least you already have the lead. You don't have to worry about casting that role.
What are some of the worst pitches you've ever heard for sitcoms?
Oh, I remember when I was at the network, there was a pitch about a black rabbi, and it was called Go Down Moses.
You're kidding.
No. And there was also a pitch about the domestic life of Abraham Lincoln in the 1850s. So it would be a pre-assassination sitcom. I'm afraid we passed on both of those.
Who was pitching these? Were these accomplished people?
Sometimes, yeah. I think one of them was. It's very hard coming up with a winning idea. That's why there are so few hits on the air.
Right. You are, I believe, 32 years old?
I'm now 33.
33. I don't know if you're seen as being young or average for a vice president in a production company, but I wonder if it ever feels uncomfortable to you when people who are older are pitching ideas to you and you know that, you know, their fate lies in your hands.
I have had that feeling, and I do feel uncomfortable. More so even is when you're developing a show with an established writer and you're giving notes to that writer, and I'm thinking to myself, who am I to give notes to this person who knows a lot more about TV than I do? But it's the nature of the job to try and work together, and so far I think I've been pretty successful at that. It's the part of the job I like best is working with the writers.
I just have one other question for you. Since you know, comedy is your business, does your brother who's schizophrenic have a sense of humor? Are you able to, can he get your jokes, and does he make jokes?
He is very funny, actually. Yes, he has never lost his sense of humor. And it was interesting to me, my grandmother died recently at 99, and she suffered from Alzheimer's the last few years, but she never lost her sense of humor. She was able to appreciate jokes and make jokes really until the very end. Even when everything else had left her mind, she still could appreciate comedy. And My brother's cognitive abilities have never really been affected. He's still extremely intelligent, and he has a wonderful sense of humor.
Was humor always important in your family?
Yeah, I think it was. My father was raised in an orphanage, and as a child, the orphanage would take the kids to see movies like twice a week, especially comedies. And I know he said that was the thing that got him through his childhood, and I think he kind of instilled that in us, an appreciation of comedy, an appreciation of film, certainly.
Well, I want to thank you very much for talking with us.
My pleasure.
Eugene Stein is Vice President for Comedy at ABC Productions. His new novel is called Straightjacket and Tie. This is Fresh Air.